For our time of hymn singing together and our fellowship meal, I direct your attention to the book of Nehemiah, the 12th chapter. And as you turn there, I'll read to you a very brief note we received from Elder James, and you might want to make a note of this. Briefly, I will be debating in the Gray Street Mosque in Durban on Tuesday morning, Phoenix time, major location. Prayers appreciated. So Tuesday morning, involved in a debate in a mosque. Let's remember our brother. Well, before we look at a passage of Scripture together, let us pray and ask God's blessing on our study time. Let us pray together. Our blessed Lord, we truly believe your word that all your Scripture is profitable. And so tonight, as we often do, we look at events that took place centuries ago, and we shall read about things that we have never seen in our own lifetime. And we shall read about what people do, things that we have never seen. But nonetheless, we know this is your word, and this event, events you desire to have recorded and preserve for your church down through the ages. And so we truly believe that your truth abides forever. And so as we look at this passage, we desire that you would take it, you would make it profitable to our daily lives, and that by means of your truth here, we would become better servants of him who loved us and gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Most people everywhere enjoy special celebrations. As a nation, we have our special celebrations. We have the 4th of July. We have Thanksgiving. We have Christmas. We have Veterans Day, we have Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and certainly the list could go on and on. But then add to that, we have our own personal times of celebration. Most of us celebrate our birthdays. We celebrate graduations from various levels of schooling. We celebrate anniversaries. We celebrate retirements, and again, the list goes on. And by and large, with reference to these personal celebrations, it's also a time for a little reflection. We reflect upon how we arrived at this particular point. For some of us, as regards our birthdays, we reflect and say, well, I never thought I'd be this old. And you can reflect back to former birthdays when you were much younger and perhaps some of the things that took place. And then again, with reference to the celebration of our graduations, we remember as we see perhaps grandchildren or some neighbor friends go across that platform, we reflect back to when we graduated. My, that was long ago. And then again, we reflect upon our anniversaries. As usual, when you first met, the first date, the first kiss, the proposal, and various humorous things that took place at the wedding ceremony. And so we reflect back with reference to these celebrations. And then there is the retirement. A man retires after so many years with the company, and at that ceremony, he can tell you about what the company was like when he first started there, about all the changes that have taken place, and how this is going to be a new chapter in his life. And so we reflect back on these celebrations, and we remember certain things, consider certain things. Well, tonight, from our passage of Scripture, we're looking at a celebration. There's a celebration taking place with reference to the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. You see, the wall has been completed, and now is the time to celebrate, a time to rejoice. And I would imagine as preparation was made for the dedication, or even during the midst of the dedication, there was some reflection by various people. You remember certain tribes, or families rather, were responsible for certain sections of the wall. And so you might have one family that would look at that wall as they pondered, and they said, well, you know that section there? That gave us fits. It was so difficult, I didn't think we'd ever get that stone in place. But finally, we did. And then another family might look at a section of the wall that they worked on, and they would say, you know what? That area went smooth as silk. And then again, another tribe might look up and say, on a particular day we were working there, it seems like every piece of equipment we had broke down. And then it very well could be that from one family, a man raised his hand and he says, see this? I lost my finger. The stone fell, crushed it, it was dangling, and we just had to amputate it. Still bothers me to this day, you see. And so this celebration, there were things to reflect upon, things to remember. And of course, above all, they would consider this. This wall stands because of the mercy of God. This wall stands because of the faithfulness of God. Not only did we put in a lot of labor, we were quite often harassed by the people of the land, but the Lord was there, and the Lord was our protection. And so not a few might look at that wall and remember the words of the psalmist, except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain to build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And so here they are, the wall's completed, and there's going to be a celebration. And so let us think, first of all, about this matter of the consecration of the wall, or if you want to use the words of the text, the dedication. Now, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, and so they're going to dedicate this wall. Well, what's involved in a dedication? And it's interesting, literally, that Hebrew word means to teach or to train. It's the word used in Proverbs 22. Train up a child in the way he shall go, and he'll not forget. Well, how do you train or teach a wall? Well, it's also obviously translated as dedicate. How do I dedicate a wall? How did they dedicate a wall? Well, it seems reasonable to believe they dedicated the wall in the sense that we dedicate and acknowledge that it is God who helped us build this wall. It is of God's mercy. We dedicate it to Him, and we dedicate it to Him that He might use this wall as according to its purpose. Why did they have walls around cities in those days? For protection. For a defense against the enemies. And so we know ultimately it is the Lord who defends, the Lord who protects. We dedicate this wall to Him. We dedicate this wall to Him and desire that everything that takes place inside the wall will be that which is honoring to Him. And so when we go through the Bible, the Old Testament, we come across this word dedicate. And I don't know about you, but I've never had a wall to dedicate. But yet there are things that in a practical way we could dedicate to our God, couldn't we? Well, in the book of Deuteronomy, in that 20th chapter, and here you have the organization of the army. As I understand it, it was a voluntary army. And so, but some men who would volunteer, they were not really fit to go and serve. And so there's a list of men given who should return home. And here's one of them, the fifth chapter, verse. Then the officers shall speak to the people, saying, what man is there who has built a new house and has not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate. Well, what would be involved in dedicating this house? Here is a man who built a house. He hasn't had an opportunity yet to dedicate it. Well, I suggest dedicate it to the Lord. Dedicate and that he would confess and acknowledge, it is by the Lord that I was able to build this house. And I dedicate this house to the Lord. I dedicate it in the sense that everything that goes on in this house is to honor the Lord. All the activities in this house, might they honor the Lord. All the speech in this house, might it honor the Lord. Have you ever done that? Have you ever dedicated your house to the Lord? Oh, you didn't use hammer and nails and put your house up. But by the providence of God, you have a house in which to live. Have you dedicated it to God? Have you dedicated it in the sense that you thank God you do have a dwelling place? You do have a roof over your head. And do you dedicate that house to God and desire that He's always welcome there? And in your mind's eye, go through your house room by room by room. Is God welcome there? Certainly He is. And think of all the activities that go on in your house. Is that honoring to God? All the speech that is used. Is it honoring to God? And certainly we could get down and get very sticky about it and say, that room in which you have your television, is God welcome to sit there and watch your programs? In that room where you have your computer, is He welcome to sit there and look at that screen with you and all that you view? Our homes, they should be dedicated to God. They are a gift from God. They belong to God. And all that takes place in the home is to be honoring to God. And so our homes, but yet again we trace this word out, and it has reference to dedicating all of our possessions. In 1 Kings 15:15, it makes mention of the fact that David and Solomon, all their gold, their silver, all the booty they took in from fighting, dedicated to God. So the question is, all of our possessions, do we acknowledge that they belong to God? And some people have such problems with that. You know, I've worked hard for what I got. It belongs to me to use as I please. Yes, you did work hard. But the strength, the health that you have is from God. The ability to earn is from God. It's not a matter of giving away all your possessions. But do you acknowledge that all those possessions are the gift from God? And you, God has the right to use them as He so pleases. Have you dedicated your possessions to God? The things you own, do they belong to God? Do you acknowledge His ownership in everything? But then again, of course, perhaps most important of all, we should dedicate ourselves. We have been bought with a price. We have been redeemed. We belong not to ourselves, but to Him who redeemed us. And so do you ever think and do you ever pray with reference to this matter that, oh Lord, I am Yours. I am Your servant. I belong to You. Please, Lord God, use me as You so please. Lord God, in my calling each day, help me to be someone who honors You. Do you often dedicate yourself to God, that you belong to God? And so here, there is a dedication taking place. And we should consider that our homes, that our possessions, that we belong to God. We're not holding back from God. Now there's an old hymn, and I don't remember how it goes, except there was a statement in it that indicated that I can't truly serve God until all on the altar has been laid. I give everything to God. He owns it. I am His servant. And so here's this matter of the consecration, the wall. We consecrate our homes, our possessions, our very being to the Lord God Almighty. But if we look again at the passage, you know, notice there's a cleansing that takes place. a cleansing. Now, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places and brought them to Jerusalem. And so obviously it was a kind of a religious ceremony. In verse 30, then the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people, the gates, and the wall. And so here are the Levites, here are the priests. What do they do first? They purify themselves. What was involved in that? Possibly the washing of their bodies, the clothes, and then they would sprinkle the people and all that was around it. Now, in and of itself, you know, these material objects are not defiled, but yet those who put them together, who built the wall and other things, they were defiled. And so it's simply bringing out the extent of what sin has done. It's affected everything. And so here are some people. They need to be cleansed. And it simply reminds us that I cannot really dedicate myself to God apart from cleansing. I cannot really dedicate myself, consecrate myself to God, to His service, if I'm defiled. And so it simply says that as believers, we need constantly, you see, constantly, to be dealing with our sins, constantly making that confession, constantly engaged in the battle of mortification, constantly engaged in repentance and repentance and repentance. And with reference to the old confession concerning this matter of repentance, yes, there is that initial repentance, and then the true believers involved in repentance all his life. And so, an interesting couple of little paragraphs in the confession. As there is no sin so small, but it deserves damnation, so there is no sin so great that it can bring damnation upon those who truly repent. You notice how it starts out? No sin so small. Do we not have a tendency to tolerate what we call small sin? It's a little sin. It's a little sin. But those little sins have a way of growing. Quite often those little sins hold us back in our service to God, hold us back in our testimony, hold us back in having good fellowship with God. People of God, hold us back from a peaceful conscience. But then again it says, men ought not to content themselves with a general repentance, but it is every man's duty to endeavor to repent of his particular sins particularly. We all know about our particular sins, don't we? And certainly it is our duty to continually endeavor to repent of our particular sins. It's those particular little sins that so greatly hinder us, that hold us back. Now, perhaps there's been a few of you who have had the experience of cutting down a tree at home, a small tree, and then you want to dig around it and you want to get the stump out. I remember especially here at the church a few years back, we had some bushes, some big fern bushes down here, and we needed to take them out. They were dying. And so a few of us came down here, and of course we cut it down as much as we could, and then started digging and digging and digging around it, and we'd pull and pull, and we couldn't get it. In fact, we even took a chain and used a pickup truck with its wheels, four-wheel drive out here in the driveway, and pulled and pulled. We couldn't get it. Well, what's wrong? I've dug and I dug, and so I dig some more, and lo and behold, there's this one root, not much bigger in diameter than my finger, holding it back. So I had to get down there and dig some more and take the axe, cut it off, pulls right out. The point is, some of those little sins, they hold us back. Particular little sins are a hindrance to you and your devotion to God, a hindrance to you and your fellowship with the saints. What do? You take the axe. You grab the axe. And you keep hacking away with the axe and hacking away. Well, you say, I found a new root, a little hack away. No man sincerely, thoroughly gives himself to the Lord, dedicates himself, except he is a man continually engaged in cleansing himself. Going again and again to the fountain, continually engaged in repentance. And for the true believer, he'll be repenting all of his life. All of his life he will experience that broken heart because of sin. And he confesses his sin. And he knows the Lord forgives him. But he never forgives himself. But he keeps hacking. That's what's involved in cleansing. That's what's involved in dedicating ourselves to the Lord. But then again, we look at this and what do we have? Well, we have the celebration. Finally, the celebration. And you notice what is said. Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites to bring all their places, to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and singing and cymbals and stringed instruments. Then the priests and the Levites purified themselves, and then they bring certain ones and they put them on the wall, and they have two choirs on the wall when you read through here. Verse 38, the other thanksgiving choir went the opposite way, and I was behind them with the half of the people in the wall going past the tower of the ovens as far as the broad wall. In other words, two choirs start at one place, and they start walking around the wall. And the wall, of course, was wide enough people could walk on it. And they would go all around the wall, and in so doing, there were the cymbals, and there was the singing, and there was the rejoicing, and it was so loud you could hear it echo down the hills of Jerusalem. And they come to a certain place, they come down, and they go to the temple. And there is celebration, and there's the sacrifices. It is a joyful time. It was a colorful celebration. It was one they would not soon forget what has happened. God, by His grace, has enabled us to complete this wall. And the temple's been built. And the city's being repopulated. Rejoice! The work had been completed. By the grace of God, the work. But we all know as believers, there's another work going on, isn't there? It's the work of God in our lives. He is at work, continually at work. At times it seems like nothing's going on. But other times a great deal. What is He doing? Well, He is shaping, He is molding us into the image of His Son. He is preparing us for that great celebration, the return, the resurrection. Oh, what a celebration. But right now, the work's going on. Now, as you know, I go up to a gym. And I've noticed for some time now, there's a man that goes there. And his rotund, he's got a good-sized belly on him. But he always wears this red T-shirt. And on this red T-shirt, there are large white block letters. What does it say? Six-pack coming soon. Of course, the temptation is to ask him, well, how soon? But no. The man's working on it. The man is working on it. As we say, it's a work in progress. And he's working. And in due time, he'll have that six-pack. We need to remind ourselves we're a work in progress. And we are plainly told in the Word of God that He who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to the day of Jesus Christ. And now, things look pretty rough. But He's at work. And if you stop and soberly evaluate things, you've come a long ways. There have been a lot of changes. You should be very appreciative and very thankful. But you're just a work in progress. It's going on. And then finally, one day, the work will be complete. The return, the resurrection, you'll be or we'll be in the presence of the Lord forever and ever, and that will be a great celebration. This celebration ended, our celebration in the presence of the Lord. It will never end. Amen. Well, let us now turn again in our hymn books and